Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dan Daly, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Soldier Today Podcast is a product of the Non-Commissioned Officer and Soldier Programs Directorate at the Association of the United States Army. Soldier Today subjects focus on those topics that are relevant and needed by our soldiers and their families serving the regular Army, Army National Guard, and the Army Reserve. Continuing our discussion topic today is a subject that remains front page on the news, COVID-19. We are all concerned about how this pandemic is impacting the Army and military operations worldwide. For all of our listeners around the world, many of you and your families have questions and concerns about the coronavirus and how they will impact you in the weeks and months ahead. For America's Army, this subject directly impacts soldiers, leaders, and organizational operations at all levels, across all three components of the Army serving around the world. We recently had discussions with the Sergeant Major of the Army, the Army National Guard CSM, and the Army Reserve CSM on how this virus is affecting our forces. But how is COVID-19 affecting our forces overseas? This is a great subject to discuss, and the right leaders to have the discussion with here in our virtual studio are Command Sergeant Major of the United States Forces Korea, Command Sergeant Major Walter Tack, and Command Sergeant Major Jason Smith, Command Sergeant Major, 8th Army, Korea. It's different overseas than it is in the States. And what I'd like to do for our listeners is just jump right into our questions, Sergeant Major, if you guys are okay with that.
Absolutely, SMA.
Okay, so first of all, everybody knows that COVID-19 has impacted all of our lives, and it's been a big deal for the U.S. since mid-March. Korea has been fighting it longer, though, since late January. Gentlemen, can you tell us what the early days were like and how things look for Korea right now?
Yes, SMA. Early on, we monitored what was going on in China early. As you know, there's about 1 million Chinese citizens that live here in Korea. So immediately, we treated this just like a combat operations. We stood up an enhanced watch team that was the 24-hour operations. We also implemented data calls that was soldiers that was traveling in and out of China. And then we continued to monitor those once they arrived back here in Korea. But what's going on now that really is trending very positive? Recently, Korea has had under 50 cases in the last 6 days, which is really, really great here. And we continue to push on the gas, not to let our guards down and maintain discipline and vigilance and fight complacency.
Well, that's great news to hear that we're really getting after the virus there and containing it. And Sergeant Major, can you talk about some of the early hurdles you and the commands had to overcome? For example, before the spread of the virus inside Korea, you had to handle the return of soldiers, as you mentioned just earlier, and civilians and families from China.
So early on, SMA, we had to try to get our hands wrapped around it early, especially as this was all new and uncharted territory for not only us, but for most of the Army. Some of the decisions that were made to help stop the spread of the virus, folks may have seemed like it was overreaction, but you know, days and weeks later, it helped clarify why those were actually necessary. You know, we put in limiting your off-post travel to official business, you know, what is truly only necessary, not what you need to do. Some of the roles of the non-commissioned officer during this time are pivotal, which the enforcement of directives, if you're sick, stay home. And that's counterintuitive to most of our Army because we like to be in work, we muscle through it and do the things that we do on a daily grind. And in this case, that's actually detrimental to formations because you can get it spread very quickly. Simple things like accounting for folks that have traveled through those areas, tracking them, putting the everyday procedures in place. Small things like formations, changing your behavior, doing the same things that you need to do to continue to train, but delivering them in a different manner. All of those things were some of the early hurdles that we had to kind of sort through and change some of the culture of the everyday norms out here.
So as you worked your way through the problem set of quarantining soldiers and their families who'd been through China in that period, as you said, and you suddenly were faced with the so-called super spreader outbreak in Daegu, home to the cluster bases. That's where most of our soldiers are, like Camp Walker, Georgia, Carroll, and Henry. What was the activity like in those first few crazy days? What were you hearing from the soldiers at the time?
The Daegu model, SMA, we learned a lot pen-wide from them. They were really where all of this started. And during the early stages of this, you know, they were in the fight, right in the middle of it. A lot of lessons learned. We learned to be, obviously, you know, we like to be a learning organization, take our lessons and TTPs from the procedures that they were put in place, not only on those camps down there, but also what the Daegu community was doing, you know, in totality. Putting the appropriate control measures in place was key, getting the protective bubble in place, and then also enforcing them. I mean, that's the other key piece, too, is to let people understand that those measures are there to keep you safe. You know, mandating the self-quarantine for those in direct contact with the confirmed cases. And then again, the travel is the key. If you don't need to be out, if you're not missing essential, then stay home, right? And learn to deliver and do the things that you need to do in a different manner. whether that's the telework, whether that's the accountability, whether the ability to do physical fitness, but do it out by yourself or in small groups, not to exceed the capacity of what would make the spread even worse.
Yeah, and we've seen that all throughout the world that the biggest combatant to this thing is social distancing, keeping people from being outside, and that's not in people's nature. I mean, it just isn't. And soldiers, I mean, we're naturally outdoor people, right? So as the first few weeks of the virus spreading and the restrictions in travel came into place, what were some of your planning assumptions? What did you start planning to have happen? What actually happened and what never materialized? Can you talk about some of that for us?
When we look at the first few crazy days, really reinforcing limit off-post travels, only to official travel, non-essentials only. And then we really want to look at, you know, how we do our HPCon measures and really avoiding a lot of interactions with crowds. For instance, when we go to the PX or the commissary, we just go there to buy, not to shop. And then we got to remain transparent and open with our soldiers, the families, and the communities. And then what we hear from soldiers out there is that, hey, am I still going to be able to PCS? Am I still going to take leave? Am I going to go to PME, professional military education? If they were still continuing to go back stateside to do their professional military education, really what great thing that 8th Army did was really do a virtual PME while staying here in Korea.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a hot topic when we talked with the Sergeant Major of the Army National Guard Sergeant Major, and the Army Reserve Sergeant Major on the things that they had to do to maintain our professional growth and professional development for the non-commissioned officer corps. So it's great to hear that Korea is doing some of the same good initiatives. You know, you had nearly a month of activity before the first USFK positive case was discovered. The spouse, unfortunately, of a retiree in Daegu area. And what was the atmosphere like when that first case was revealed? What were you hearing from the formation and the troops? What were they saying?
SMA, obviously, there was some angst when you get the first positive case. I think the key to that piece was having a calming presence, you know, on the formation and within the community, being open and transparent with what is truly happening, explaining that the new norm is here. This is a lifestyle change and you have to do it daily. What we used to do isn't going to work anymore. It's not a matter of when it comes to the installation, it's going to hit here. So the key that we thought was to contain it, stop it, and then obviously we're still on the campaign to kill the virus. But some of the early things too is, you know, as you start going through new non-standard mission sets for our organization, such as clean contract chase teams, team clean duties, those types of things, rehearsals, task organizations for non-standard mission sets, those early on and making sure that the community and the soldiers knew what they were doing, why they were doing it, and when those actions were occurring, what they were for was pretty key and paramount early on.
Yeah, and SMA, let me jump on what Sergeant Major Smith said about lifestyle change, because really, Daegu was the one that really taught us all early, accepting the new lifestyle. That's what we have to live now until this thing is complete. Those lifestyle changes was crucial for all the service members and families here and doing things that we're not used to, breaking the habits that we normally do. That was really the big thing. And then, of course, you know, you have to expect the unexpected. You got to be prepared for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all changing the way we live, at least for the short term, and hopefully not for the long term. But I think this is going to have a profound effect on all of us for the future and how we look at things. You know, unfortunately, the first service member did test positive on the peninsula, and that was announced the next day. But since February 24th to date, you've only had two positive cases in the uniform population. Why do you think that is?
You know, we have a unique mission here in Korea, unlike any other place. So, you know, we have a mission. We really have to protect the force to protect the mission. That's what it's all about. If we protect our forces, we can still posture ourselves what we do here in Korea. We got to remain proactive in our approach with abundance of caution. We use appropriate and control measures. We practice the fundamentals like stay home when you're sick or wash your hands or practice social distancing. These are the things that we have to do every single day to protect our forces. And again, we also empower our subordinate commanders to ensure that they execute all the USFK commander's guidance.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you said we have to be ready to protect the American people and, well, the people of South Korea as well. And that's one of our missions over there. So let's take a minute, Sergeant Majors, if you don't mind, to talk about force health protection conditions. Can you describe for our listeners what HPCons are and the triggers you use to increase them?
Absolutely. You know, there's four levels of health protection conditions, alpha through delta. Of course, it's all the way from routine through severe. Now, some of the triggers we use is the spike in numbers of confirmed cases and known contacts. And that's how we elevate our HPCon levels. And then we also have to, you know, ensure our contact tracing team and Team Clean operates to maximize the exposure of others. And for the most part, the soldiers and families and civilians are very compliant to all those HPCon measures because they understand the conditions that they're in.
Yeah, so those force protection or the force health protection conditions is just a very quick tool that the command can use to let everybody know to go to a next level. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And depending on what HPCon level we're in, the commander has different authorities over, you know, military or civilians and families.
Well, that's good news, Sergeant Major. You know, one of the biggest concerns about the current environment has been being able to take care of our families. And during this period of prolonged uncertainty, single parents and dual military couples have been particularly impacted. How did you mitigate the impact on these soldiers without having family care plans enacted?
First thing, SMA, you know, we realized what we were doing isn't going to work in this type of environment. Again, it's different. It was fluid and it was changing. So we started with the commander's intent, you know, and then we looked at cross formation. If you were single parents or dual military, you know, how do you alternate the work schedules if it's dual military? If it's single parents, then, you know, emphasize to the commands that taking care of the families during this time is one of the priorities here, and that coming into work, maybe they're not mission essential. They should have a backup trained that could do the same duties and responsibilities, and that way the child can be taken care of. If you're not mission essential, don't come in. If that person is mission essential, how can we deliver their same services? Is it teleworking? Those types of things. So, and then just getting leaders and supervisors involved to make sure there is a plan to ensure that if they needed to do the duties that they needed to do, that they could deliver the same, you know, service commensurate to either being in person, and then the family could still be taken care of. So we're just taking a deep approach to it, making sure leadership is involved at all levels and emphasizing that if you're not needed or you fall in that situation, this is a different environment. And go ahead and just stay home, take care of the kid. We'll get through this.
And the biggest thing, what Sergeant Major Smith is saying, is that we have to apply common sense to what's right for the families here, because this is a new, you know, everybody's still trying to figure out this virus. So applying common sense to the families, taking care of families and soldiers, that's what's really important.
Best way I thought to summarize is discretion and judgment. Use them, employ them, right, and use them to take care of soldiers and families in an overseas environment where there isn't a lot of social support structure to help them out if they happen to be in that single or joint military, dual military population.
Well, it's good that we're taking a common sense approach to these kind of things, Sergeant Major, and empowering our subordinate leaders to make those decisions at the right levels where they're needed. Earlier, you mentioned stop move. The stop move order that went into effect last month has had major impacts across the entire Army. Can you talk about the specifics of the issue you experienced in Korea? For example, soldiers caught in the middle of a PCS or stranded en route or situations like that?
Oh, absolutely, SMA. So early on, when that went into effect, we noticed, obviously, we tracked the inbounds to Korea pretty closely based upon, you know, the bulk or preponderance of the force being on 12-month tours over there. So people are very important to us to maintain our readiness posture. We got the G1s involved pretty early and the commands to put sponsorship into action as it should be. Reach out to the folks, find who was truly stranded out there that had shipped household goods, unaccompanied baggage. We were tracking down to who's command sponsor, down to, you know, the one pet. And then once we compiled the data, I think we came out, last count I think was 101, may have shifted down a little bit number, but we had 101 on the original list that we submitted an ETP to for exception to get them out that we felt truly were in the hardship case. They shipped all their stuff. They were in a limbo category, somewhere stuck between their last camp poster station and coming over to Korea. And then we're actively working to get those folks over here. Some of them we have gotten over here. So command involvement early, sponsorship is key and important. And then having empathy for the folks that are coming over here is part of that.
We try to limit the burden on our families and soldiers that are in a transition mode. And that's just one great way to take the stress away and really taking care of our folks coming in and out.
Good to hear that we made exceptions where there need to be made exceptions because, you know, a tour to Korea in itself is a stressful thing for families, especially if they're unaccompanied. So it's good to hear the chain of command making those decisions at the right level. You know, we mentioned just briefly before, and Sergeant Major, you talked about the non-commissioned officer professional development system, but Korea is the home to the Whitman NCO Academy. Can you elaborate a little bit more on how the social distancing policy and the travel restrictions have impacted soldiers' ability to attend their non-commissioned officer professional development?
Absolutely, SMA. So early during the early stages, we noticed or we came to the first problem set of how to deliver PME, especially the BLC2 Daegu. That was the problem set. And then we slowly started to discover that though other folks may still have not been under a travel restriction at that time, folks that we service Japan, Guam, those students might not be able to attend the resident portion of BLC. So we had the Whitman NCO Academy Commandant reach out to the NCO Center Leadership Excellence and work for the ability to deliver the BLC in a non-standard manner. And they very rapidly turned to POI that 8th Army Whitman NCO Academy put into action. The first class that they instituted that in, they had the resident focus. We've now switched and have gone to what the whole Army is doing with the EBLC. But during that early period, they had the resident course going there. They're delivering the distance learning emergency BLC POI to Daegu down in the southern hub of the Penn, and then also off Penn to Japan. So that was some of the very rapid responses we got from the Nikolco in response to the demand. And the other piece that made that kind of challenging too is a lot of people don't know that the 8th Army Whitman NCO Academy also trains the Catooses as well. So while they were running the emergency EBLC during this portion of the time frame, they also had to execute the training of the Catoosa training program as well.
Yeah, a lot going on and a lot of major changes, but it's good to hear that our non-commissioned officers still have the means to continue on with the professional development. You know, gentlemen, we talked a lot about restrictions. That's what's key to combating this virus. And as we all know, anytime a command puts a restriction in place, it's almost a given there will be a population of soldiers who will test those limits. Can you talk about compliance and what you're seeing from the 3- and 4-star level that you guys are at regarding discipline?
Yeah, absolutely, SMA. You know, anything that's not complying to the HP cons, any violators, that's automatically a GO level because we are now living the new normal and lifestyle change that requires commitment and discipline. And, you know, majority of the units and the families and civilians in the workplaces, they have remained compliant. But, you know, always a few have disregarded the USFK prevention measures and have been dealt with accordingly. For instance, you know, those few soldiers have lost the rank, lost the money, extra duty, and so forth. But under the public health emergency that we're on now, the USFK commander overall can reinforce the compliance. So he has authority over all the non-military folks as well. And for those folks, they're barred. If they violate it, they're barred from post for a minimum of 2 years. The important is that, hey, look, it only takes one person to get infected and infects the rest of us.
Another good thing that we're finding when you're looking about how we hold people accountable for violations of this is a good news story out is the community has been pretty much self-policing, right? Because they're vested in this as we are. So we're finding a lot of the things that come to light aren't necessarily because we discovered them out, but they were reported to us, you know, just from whatever means that may be out there, whether it's social media, Facebook posts. So that's a good news story as it's not just the chain of command, but the community itself is being a self-policing community.
There's some tight restrictions, but as you said, these kind of restrictions are there to change and save lives. So that's critically important as we move through this and that our soldiers adhere to those restrictions because the command are making decisions with everybody's life in mind. So, you know, throughout this time, we've been experiencing some churn in ways most of us never saw in uniform. I know I haven't when I was in uniform. And the widespread disruption of normal life and activities. What impact is that having on soldiers and families? What's it like down at the uniform level for those young troops and families?
So I think during, you know, as we discover what the new norm is, I don't think we're ever going to get back, in my opinion, to what we were at before. But how do you do the same things that we were doing before, but do it in a different manner? You know, we have to maintain the readiness. We do have a mission, obviously, like most folks do. But how do we do the same things in a different manner? Physical fitness is vital. So we're not going to do large formations anymore and those types of things. So how do you execute mission command and empower junior non-commissioned officers down at the level to go ahead and lead the squad PT like we have been doing and do, but just make that the new norm. So how do you do accountability in the same manner? Accountability is important. We don't need to have everybody in a box with 180 guys or gals out there spreading this stuff. So account for people in a non-standard manner and get that up. Execute physical fitness in a non-standard manner. Get that up. We can still do ranges and EST. Just maybe do the social distancing and you shut down certain lanes to still get after some of the sets and reps that we need. And we already talked to BLC, so still delivering PME in a different manner. So I think the new norm or the lifestyle change, we can still do the same things to maintain readiness. We just got to look at our approach to delivering that.
Yeah, absolutely, Sergeant Major. You know, earlier, gentlemen, I think one of you mentioned engaging with the community and how the community is part of this. And as OCONUS Command, you work much closer with community partners and organizations. And can you share examples of success that occurred during the response to COVID-19?
Yes, SMA. As you know, the ROC U.S. alliance is ironclad as always. The professionalism between the two militaries are exemplary of what we do. But the ROC government, the Republic of Korea government, and the Korea Center of Disease Control, they have been a phenomenal host and partners with us. We're very transparent with each other. We have a continual collaboration and information sharing with the confirmed cases and the contact tracings. I mean, they have been incredible professionalism. We have the transparency and coordinations with both USFK and the ROC government. And we also have an agreement to test off pen if needed. That relationship continues to grow because of that.
Yeah. And are there still some areas that you're working on improving?
Right now, SMA, I mean, we're looking into this virus together and how to really kill the virus. And there's some, you know, the testing, how to test this thing a lot quicker, how to continually improve on our team trace and team clean overall. Those are still ongoing as we speak today.
Well, that's good to hear. And that continuous collaboration is how we're going to get through this. So as we know, communication is essential. That's why we're here today. During this crisis we are dealing with, it's even more essential. What brought you around to being as open and transparent as you have been?
Yes, I mean, I think transparency, you know, and playing with your cards out during this time is very important. The transparency and the communication helps calm the force, like we talked about earlier. It also makes the community more aware and puts folks at ease. We early on had all the garrisons start to execute Facebook Live sessions. We still do them currently to this day. We execute one a day in all four areas with the garrison commanders and sergeants majors on there, giving the updates as this environment is very fluid. So things will change very rapidly, whether it's new cases, whether it's the cases declining, whatever those it may be, you know, that information is vital. The town halls, USFK is very good about using surveys to check the pulse of the community and get feedback, confidence levels and the measures being put in place, et cetera. So those things I think are very good. If new policies come in place, like wear the mask mandatory to go in installations, those communication strategies, the PAO folks, they're key to getting that out. Also the chain of command and support channel, getting that out across the formation. So communication is very vital and a key part of this portion of the COVID fight.
Yeah, you know, communications, you really have to go early. You got to have a great strategic communications to the public to not create confusion within the communities. So, you know, like we say, hey, go ugly early and explain later, because the decisions that you're making now, it's really what's right for the people, you know, 6 weeks down the road. And they probably won't understand that now, but they will as you implement some of the guidances from the command. So really, communication has to be open, has to be early, and has to be transparent.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some lessons you learned about communication?
One of the biggest lessons is you have to communicate early on. This answered a lot of questions from soldiers, from families, from DOD civilians, because they don't have all the information that you have. So you have to put out your intent early on in order to calm the community down, and so they have a better compliant in what your intents are. For instance, the gates, we put out the information about how we enter the gates. There are soldiers there asking questions, checking your temperatures. If people were just coming through the gate and they didn't know that, then they would be all confused. But since they know it, you know, right off the bat, the community are more compliant and cooperative on what is going on through the gate instead of creating a traffic.
Seeing success back here in the stateside too is communication has been very frequent and very often and at every echelon from the president down through the Secretary of Defense, the Chief of Staff, the Secretary. So it's been very comforting to see them on the news almost every day talking about the problem and what they're doing to combat it.
Right. Yeah. And another communication that we do here is we communicate our lessons learned here and we pass it back to the states, to the leadership in the states, because this cycle, we're at least 6 weeks ahead of, you know, what's going on back home. So we message those lessons learned so they can get after the problem early before it hits them hard.
Absolutely. You know, we've seen a lot of inspiring work done by members of our military and our Army. Can you gentlemen share with us some of the heroes of the battle and the evolving situation?
Yeah, absolutely, SMA. I mean, when I look back at the start of all of this, you know, I'll start with all the MSCs have all been doing great work at Echelon. I mean, a lot of these mission sets are non-standard, whether that's the clean teams, the team traces, whether that's executing, you know, the gate guard. the protective measures to make the bubble safe out there. So everything is kind of different. All those have been doing great work. Our medical community is getting a lot of sets and reps in. I mean, they are truly the heroes of the battle over here. The PAO community, obviously, we just talked communications. That is key, because if your messages aren't clear, concise, and nested across, we're going to have a lot of bad communication going on out there and things not actually being transmitted in a plain text format. And I'll tell you, some other folks at SMA are the garrisons. A lot of times that's some thankless works, but the garrison commanders, sergeants, majors, and the MCOM employees out there have been doing just the yeoman's work since the start. It's truly astonishing what they've done. And then the staffs, I tell you, the staffs, you know, at Echelon, from tracking these and the numbers and the environments and the different TTPs and things that have to go on. I mean, early on, you got to recognize you can burn those folks out if they don't learn to put a good rest plan in place and do those things. There's a lot of great stories out there and, you know, a lot of great recognition to be right across formations.
Yeah, SMA, you know, every day, somebody and unexpected to rise to the occasion. It could be a soldier helping out with the community, the NCOs in the front lines in our formations that we don't see it are enforcing the standards and discipline to really get after the killing the virus. And I know there's other things that a lot of the leaders and soldiers do that we don't see every single day, but you know, those are the true heroes who really stomp the problem. But you know, the staff for us here in the headquarters, the staff, the J33 who really started this thing and seeing ourselves where we at with this virus is really keeping track. And I tell you, we have a doctor here, our USFK surgeon, who happens to be a disease doctor, the only one of a kind, and he's been the arrow and the quiver on this thing. So he kept us track and on track what we need to do and gave advices to the commander to make the proper decisions. So without him, I don't know if we'd be able to do what we've done here. But truly, there's a lot of heroes here. I can't just name one, but the one that Jason and I have named are truly the ones that deserve the credit to really continue to stop the virus.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd hate to know where we'd be today if we didn't have those great soldiers, great civilians, and great community partners out there helping you guys fight this fight. You know, Command Sergeant Major Stagg and Command Sergeant Major Schmidt, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. And I wish we could make it last forever, but I'd like to give you both the last words. And do you have any final thoughts you'd like to provide our listeners out there?
Yes, SMA, I'd like to just thank you for having myself and Sergeant Major Tag on and share some current environment of Korean Depend. I think, you know, for the NCOs listening out there, what's probably important for us is that when you look at our NCO creed, the two biggest things that we have to do, accomplish the mission and take care of our soldiers. That's what we have to do every day in this environment. Those are the two things that have not and probably will not change for the foreseeable future. So I thank you for having us on the show and letting us spend some time with you. And I'll turn it over to Sergeant Major Tag for his closing comments.
The SMA, as always, it's always an honor to be able to dialogue with you anytime. So, you know, as we move on to the future here, this is just a few messages I want to put out. You know, hey, strict proper hygiene procedures are the biggest deterrent to spreading this virus. And it's an individual's responsibility to adhere and practice proper hygiene. It's really what we have to continue to do in order to kill this thing. But always appreciate the dialogue, your mentorship, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again soon.
Well, gentlemen, we appreciate the insightful conversation and we welcome you back anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, our time has come to an end to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast. All of us here at the Association of the United States Army want to thank Command Sergeant Major of the United States Forces Korea, Command Sergeant Major Walter Tagg, and Command Sergeant Major Jason Schmidt, Command Sergeant Major 8th Army Korea, for joining us today for this great update on COVID-19. We thank you and all of your soldiers for what you've done and all that you continue to do each and every day. Thank you for continuing the proud traditions of our Army. And this is another example of how fortunate we are and how this contributes to us being the greatest land power force in the world.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Army Real Talk. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member supported, Army connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.